Salutations, my friends, and thank you for tuning in to another edition of Factions of Freedom. We are actually doing a bit of a panel discussion about the dimensions of Flat Earth, because as you know, this is something we've been talking about for a while, and I kind of wanted to close out this season with something a little bit more monumental, something that would make you guys think about all the other things that we've covered on the show, as well as other things that we're going to cover in the future. But before we jump into things, make sure you guys are paying attention to our website. We're going to be switching things up to adapt to all the adjustments that we're making, all the advancements and upgrades that we have taken place. Please, really, guys, if you like the content and you want to see more, become a part of our Patreon exclusive. It's $4.99 a month, you know, and it really does help us get it out there. Or just donate a dollar to our PayPal. You know, really, everything helps whenever we're trying to mix everything up. And as you know, we're switching up to Season 5. And so what I think we're going to end up doing is actually leaving the audio versions of episodes of the previous episode up season up for you guys. That way you can listen to it. And if you want to watch the episodes like we have right here, you can purchase them on the website, or you can become a Patreon exclusive member and have access to the back catalog and archives of episodes. As you know, also, we're writing articles and everything else. Like, really, guys, really, there's so much going on. But I don't want to bore you with all that. Just make sure you're checking out the links at the bottom of this interview, and let me know what you guys think. Salutations, my friends, and thank you for tuning in to another edition of Factions of Freedom. I'm your host, Noisera, Freedom Faction, whichever one you prefer, and I'm actually joined by two awesome guests, because we're going to be talking about Flat Earth and so much more. I am joined by Jonas of Libertas Alternative Media, and I'm also joined by Rob Dizzle of Terra Plane Truth. My friends, how are you?
Well, it's crack-a-lacking, brother. Doing good, man. Happy to be here.
Yeah, me too. It's awesome. Nice to having us here.
Oh, thank you guys for coming on. This is, as we've been talking about, clearly this is something that's like interested me for a while. But I have all kinds of questions, and I didn't want to seem like a crazy person putting this all out here. So I felt like by having you guys on here, like two people who have researched the topic, and for people who don't know, Jonas and Rob, they're Zetetic truthers, truthers above all else, and flat earth researchers about everything else. And that's not the only thing that we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about so much more on this episode, but they are very informed, very well informed about the things that we're going to be talking about. And I wanted you guys to hear from people that I would consider modern experts, current and up to date on everything that's going on. So I'm really excited to have you guys on.
Yeah, excited to be here, man.
Me too.
Thanks for having us on. It's not easy to delve into this subject for a lot of people. I'm worried about the backlash and what other people will think and everything. And I think it's just very important. If you're concerned with the truth and finding it out, then you know, you should definitely leave your biases and your preconceived notions, you know, at the door, because you won't discover, you know, Zetetic truth with having those along for the ride. So,
well, one of the questions that like before you actually came into the chat, before we started the show, me and Libertas were kind of talking about, me and Jonas were talking about how the timeline of things with the Antarctic Treaty and then the Grijalva Treaty. Like, for me, that's kind of how I came into talking about all this type of stuff, is through the paranormal aspect. And so whenever I see kind of trends pop up, weird things kind of synchronize, that's whenever, you know, that's a red flag for me. I got to pay attention to it. So while I know that people are kind of freaking out about the flat earth and they don't want to talk about it, I think that it has like a very, very crucial point and part in like a lot of different people's awakening process. And it's something that we need to figure it out. We need to like understand like what it means in like this truth seeking experience.
Definitely. And we are many people knowing a little bit of, you know, the same subject or for like me and Rob, we all know different parts, and well, some we all know, you know, and I think it's a very appropriate time, you know, since Flat Earth came out. Some, well, it's been a long forever, but it, you know, we got attention on some new attention some 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago. And today, from that point, we can see it's spiked, you know, it's gone very viral. So I think it's a great time that that you take with everything you've now found out, and following the rabbit hole, you know, the connecting the dots, and you see that things doesn't really add up to what we're being told, and we are told a lot of things. So we need to get our heads together and share our knowledge. And it is tough for some people to address these things, and that's why I think it's so great for us to be able to connect, and that you're doing it.
Well, that's what we were talking about before the show too, is just, you know, a lot of people, and I think a reason like why it's getting the kind of traction and tension it's getting like these days is because we're seeing them trying to push even harder for the weaponization of space, the alien agenda, and so many different things along that nature, the military industrial complex and all that. And so how they're trying to create this breakaway civilization. And so whenever you have that, and then on the flip side, you have people that understand the Earth is flat, you're kind of looking at two separate factions of conspiracies go on. And so you're trying to figure out the truth in between. And that's basically where I'm at. While all this stuff is going on, I want to try to figure out what it means together, because that was another thing that we were talking about, the alien agenda and all this other stuff, you know, because we can, for me, you know, for somebody that's looking on the outside in trying to understand more, I can see like how high up these drones go. You know, we've seen like how high up balloons take some of these GoPros, and then, you know, it's crazy. So that could be considered spaces too. But I think a lot of people, and this is where I have questions for you guys, you know, a lot of people kind of get hung up on things like the firmament, the Van Allen radiation belt, the magnetosphere, or as we were talking about beforehand too, Rob, with these hyperdimensional waters that are over us. So there's like a lot of different things I think that come with it, because now that we're actually starting to question, what does the human race look like if we were to go off of this planet? Can we get off of this planet? People don't know. So that's I think that's why a lot of the traction of the flat Earth is becoming attractive, because people want to know, okay, are we going to get off Earth? No, probably not. Why? You see, and so there's for me, like I said before, there's a lot of questions that I have that I want to look at with you guys.
Awesome, we got answers, man. I mean, just bringing up Antarctica, you know, everything surrounding that has just been so sketchy, especially
so
lately.
Sketchy.
I mean, it just, especially with the whole Buzz Aldrin thing,
yep.
And then finding out that that wasn't actually his Twitter that left those messages, the eerie messages, and then the CNN, the reporting online site that dropped that story had no correlation to actual CNN, the actual network. So I found out that was kind of bogus, which it was like, you know, well, what? It's almost like they're trying to direct attention there rather than make people look away. And then you got, you know, so basically my thing about that whole thing is, and a lot of people are looking into that from the whole alien agenda, you know, side of things. And well, there's a lot that went on, you know, from the Russian, you know, the Russian Orthodox leader meeting with the Pope, and then traveling there with the whole brigade of Russian, you know, it's all. And so what I've found almost in researching this so deeply is that a lot of this stuff is they're staged. It's like staged entertainment to keep people from finding out the truth. That's the way I've come to look at it.
Political theater.
Yeah. I mean, like, these are the most, you know, if you didn't want the attention, you wouldn't be sending people like John Kerry, Obama, the Orthodox, all these people openly going to Antarctica and everything like that. You know, it's almost like they need you to see that,
mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, as far as it comes to Antarctica, that's just a mystery in itself. So if you look and then you start searching for all the mysteries of Antarctica, you find stories of men traveling anywhere from 1,000, 2,000 miles south of the pole to even 5,000 miles south of the pole. I mean, so
I think like one of the strangest, because this is again like connecting like the alien agenda to the flat earth agenda or to like the Antarctic Treaty. This is what me and Jonas were talking about, is like the Greta Treaty between Eisenhower and the Greys apparently was written in 1954. And then the Antarctic Treaty was written 10 years subsequently later. So it's like, what is that trend about? Okay, because we have Admiral Byrd go to Antarctica, and then we find out he can't be there. Like, they just basically kick him back to America, and they say, you can't come back here.
They kick him back to America with 2,000 men less. That's a kicker.
Because he went with a full battalion, didn't he?
Yeah, over 4,000 men went. Yeah, it was something like 13 carriers, I believe, and a bunch of jets, and they came back 2,000 less men, and with no explanation. And so what I feel is, if you look at Admiral Byrd's history, he was being funded by the elitists of the Masons and everything. He was a high-level Mason himself. Yep. He started the first lodge in Antarctica. So, I mean, Lodge 777. Imagine that. Aleister Crowley's number, right? You know, so, all right. So he's up north doing over 20 years of exploration north now. There's not supposed to be anything north, all right? And then all of a sudden he hops south and makes a few trips, had a few expeditions, and then there's that big one that we were just discussing with the where he loses over 2,000 men. Yeah. Now, what I feel is that he found that energy field that we were talking about earlier, you know. When we get into talking about, you know, Shambhala, you know, past Hyperborea and those lands like that closer to the north and whatnot, you know. If you look into the ancient stories, you find that you must be operating at a high frequency to even, you know, it's almost like you're only half into your etherical body once you are even able to penetrate these northern lands. You know, see, it's not like you can just invade, you know, the Garden of Eden or whatever is there, you know, if anything is there at all. But he sure spent long enough time in exploration there. Now, you know, the problem is, if he's looking for an entrance into the earth and he's there with a military presence and all these men, well, he's not going to be able to get in it through the north. And so I think once he figured that out, then I think the next option was to go south. Once he got south and found all that land and started talking about it, spreading it around, he didn't even make it for three more years, and he was basically found dead in a hotel room.
Yeah, like, they basically exiled him.
Yeah, and he was, yeah, absolutely. And then, so you find out he's deeply involved with not just Masonry, but I mean, these are like the highest level in this country. Rosicrucian Freemasons that founded this country, that founded Virginia, like. He is that bloodline of that family. He is their, you know, great great grandson. Like, this, that's who Byrd is. The Byrd family is very, very important to the whole Dark Order of things. And
we're getting like tales whenever he's talking, like his adventure, or at least his expedition, whenever he went to the North Pole or to the northern parts first? Is this whenever he tried to enter Shangri-La or Shambhala? Is this where we get the tale of him entering that hole or that cave at the plane? Is that where we get that story from?
It could very well be, because in some of the more ancient cosmology there, the actual center is like a crater continent that, where this energy vortex, which is the center, the hyperboloid of the toroid that surrounds the entire plane of the earth, the three-dimensional plane that we exist in. And even though it is more than that, there's more dimensions exist here. We are three-dimensional beings, so we only perceive the third dimension. And we'll probably get into that in a little bit. But
well, that's another question. That's another thing that I definitely agree with. It sounds like to a degree, and this is what me and Libertas were talking about beforehand, it kind of sounds like we're talking about the hollow earth theory, because that's something I can definitely get behind. I definitely understand, like I said before, subterranean caverns, deep underground military bases, all these honeycomb like structures, and all kinds of chutes, and I can understand all that. So seeing that there would be like generations or civilizations that would be living underneath us, I can totally understand that in relation to things. And I guess that's where, again, we start talking about things like, well, how deep does the earth go?
No.
How deep is, or how hollow is the earth? Are we living only on like one shell of it? Because as you said before, there's something at the core or at the center. And this is where people kind of get like the theory of there being like a ball of magma at the center of the earth. And for me, looking at things like the hollow earth, where we're looking at layers upon layers upon layers with stuff in between, maybe that is another sun. Maybe that is like an entirely different ecosystem or an entirely different environment that's basically self-sustained.
Absolutely. And I can explain how that's possible, because with the toroidal field that would be surrounding us, it is an extremely powerful field of electromagnetic and dielectric energy that surrounds our entire plane, right? Our entire even dimension outside of that would probably be, you know, just a correlation of all types of like no matter that we know existing in some type of primordial water,
more than hyperdimensional water.
Yep. That surrounds the whole realm that we exist in. Right. So if this was this, basically this massive like double toroid field, and it has this hyperboloid emanating out, and that's basically like the hourglass shape that you would see at the center of it, you know, that's the hyperboloid. So at the center of that, there would be so much energy coalescing into that center and shooting outward in every direction on a y-axis. It would create accretion disks or accretion planes that would travel out to the very edges of the allowed frequency or energy field, all the way to the edge. And so like in Vedic cosmology, they believe that there was, if I'm not mistaken, up to 15 planes that existed. I think seven above our earth plane, and then seven below, right? So
the seven layers of hell.
Yeah. And then they were all planes. They were all planes that existed inside the cosmic egg.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, and that would absolutely lend credence to the hollow earth side of things, because I mean, in my opinion, it works way better than some type of spinning globular model with shells. You know, it would almost have to be, you know, operating like a sophisticated organic gyroscope. You know, and I'm not saying that it couldn't, but there's too many other things that go against that for me. So, but when I see how the accretion disk that we live on, basically Earth, that emanates at the center of this whole, all of these energy fields that are like going in and out and up and down, out in, you know, there could very well be, absolutely be multiple, because it's, everything is like energy and wave perturbations. And so if there was like shockwave as it went up and down at the same time from this center, which could have been at creation, it could have emulated multiple accretion disks outwards, and there could be ways, as in holes at the center or whatever, of traveling to these next ones. And if what I'm studying is that, like, what we see as the sun, it's not an actual tangible ball of anything. It's a perturbation of light that each one of us sees on our own. We each have our own sun, and it's a perturbation of light coming through that toroidal field of shell of energy that surrounds our entire plane. So each one of these, you know, higher or lower planes could then as well have their own suns or moons, or just sun and moon, or however it's emanating in those dimensions or levels. And they, you know, they have their own, you know, because of the gases in that atmosphere, they would have their own sky, they would have their own sun, they would have everything, and they wouldn't be able to see the ceiling, which would be, you know, if we're talking about underneath us, like Bird said, he went down. So it would be just basically rock above them, but because of the light emanating through the gases and then coalescing at making the sun, you would never, it would look like Earth to us. It would look like the same, or maybe different colors, you know, because of the different frequency change as you go down. But nevertheless, you know.
Yeah, that is something kind of the same thing. They say the different planets could have totally different. Well, they would have totally different. How should I say it? It would look differently, you know. If you play all these games and watched all the space documentaries, as I bet all of us have, we have seen so many different types of possible worlds. So I you know, to visualize how something above and below could look like, you know, if we were to be able to go there in an instant, for example, up a notch or something, then it's very, very plausible.
It sounds like to me that we're talking about, and just correct me if I'm wrong, because it seems like people who it seems like flat earthers don't believe that there is space. But whenever we talk about things like different planes and different realities, it sounds like we're talking about dimensions. So mm-hmm. not necessarily space, but dimensions. Like there are other dimensions. There's just not a space out there with all kinds of million different galaxies. There's different dimensions and different realities where there's like different existences that have taken place, because as Rob was saying, with there being like the sun and everybody being able to perceive it differently, basically seeing different spectrums of light, different perceptions of this third dimension of light in this three-dimensional flat plane Earth. Is that about right? Is like there's not necessarily space, but there's different dimensions and spectrums of this visible stationary place we call Earth. Is that about right?
Basically, but all pertaining to Earth. It's all like one system. So like the fourth dimension is here. We're in it now. We just can't perceive it because you see what I'm saying? It's almost like we are fourth dimension. We are fourth dimensional beings that can only perceive in three dimensional form, you know? So
word.
So as far as spacing, way, as far as that being concerned, everything that we can see is being created by that toroidal field that surrounds us, and likewise the hyperboloid at the center. Everything.
So is that where? So is that again where we get
outside
like-
of that? The outside of the edges of that massive toroidal field that surrounds the whole system and our realm. I don't think that we have the capability to even comprehend something like that. I think it's vastly beyond our comprehension, beyond time and anything like that. I think our realm is a realm of like, you know, time and space in a way. I don't want to sound like Einstein because he was a fool, but you know, it is something of that like 3D nature where we have space around us and we have three-dimensional form, but on out past our left, I don't think we can see anything beyond that. I think everything that we're seeing, you know, we're only told that these planets and stars that we're seeing are these, you know, vast million miles across balls of burning gases and these, you know, terrestrial objects orbiting all that, like, you know, we only believe that because that's what we're told. Even some of the best equipment doesn't see what NASA wants us to believe with their CGI and their fakery that is given to us on a constant basis, you know? So like, I believe that all those things, you know, the stars and I don't even want to call them planets.
In the heavens.
Wandering stars.
It's wandering stars, yeah. Yeah. They're called wandering stars.
I was just saying that's it in the heavens, you know, right. The wandering stones.
And that's another, go ahead.
I was just gonna say I think that's a good way for us to springboard into what we were talking about before with the music of the spheres.
Yeah,
because I feel like for some people it seems like, I don't know, I have to understand, I guess, like where do the planets fit in? You know, are they just projections? You know, are these just like different rotations in the firmament? Is the firmament just moving around us? You know, so there's things like the space that I have to like kind of figure out as well.
But there's the ether, it is everywhere. Like everything is like manifesting through the ether, right?
Oh, entirely.
So like
Nikola Tesla actually talks about it as well.
Funny that you mentioned him, because, you know, a quick one. Rob mentioned that you didn't want to sound like Einstein. So I came to think of Nikola Tesla's quote, if you want to find the secrets of the universe, think in terms of energy, frequency, and vibration. And that is what we are talking about.
I don't know if you guys follow that page or follow Orgon on Instagram, but that's definitely like what we talked about. Is like, and this is something I'm still to this day trying to conceptualize, like on the show and like on my own personal, is like this artificial energy versus this source energy. And that's that was like one of the questions I have for Rob too, like this toroidal field energy that he's talking about, is that where we get the concept of the magnetic ley lines, you know, the energetic grid that's placed all over the planet?
Exactly.
Is that where we get like that kind of concept, that toroidal field? Is that where we're getting the top layer? You see, so that and looking at how they're setting up 5G telecom centers, ELF towers, cell phone towers, grid towers, and all these things along these ley lines to manipulate this natural waveform energy that we're interacting. Because another question that I had for you guys as well, and I'm sorry to be bouncing all over the place for you guys, but another question I had is like, what is the firmament? What is the magnetosphere to you guys? What is the ionosphere? What is that? And how does, because it affects us. I feel like it does. There's astrology. There's movements of like the planets. There's movements of the moon that affect like people's consciousness and our body as well. So how does the firmament affect us? And are these things such as the magnetosphere and the Van Allen radiation belt, are these just creations that don't tie us to the spiritual nature that we have?
Oh, that's a good one. Because many people say as soon as you mention a dome or firmament or something in a enclosed system, people become more like it's kind of the same thing as with governments and blah, 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 you know, enclosing us and shutting us in. But I don't see it as that. To be honest, I never even thought that I would ever go to space, you know, go up there, not on that high altitude. But we do have, we do have footages and, some footages, you know, with the weather balloons being 100 feet up, and you compare them with those 200 miles NASA footages. If you compare the clouds and everything, you see it's almost identical height, and they should be 200 miles up. So something it's not as if we were meant to be able to be out there. But if it's an actual solid piece of, you know, I bet you could feel the energy, because I'm also into everything that Rob said. That's how I see it too. That works the best with this, if we should say, model that we all try to figure out. And I don't know. I think it is a system, you know, to connect it with the wandering stars or the planets. They do seem to have a purpose, all of them, you know. It's not that we are dependent on one and only. They are all working in the same, like a big system or not system, you know what I mean? Engine of some sort. Doing things to us, and I bet Rob has very more of the whole astronomy side of the whole coin, don't you?
Oh yeah. Well, it's like each one of the wandering stars is like a perturbation of energy at a certain frequency that matches with the metals that we have on Earth. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So like moon with silver, mercury with mercury, et cetera. And it has effects on these different, you know, minerals and metals. And we have those inside of us. So the practice of astrology where, you know, it makes so much more sense. Like, it never made sense to me before. I thought it was all, you know, new age, spiritualistic mumbo jumbo, like back when, you know, because I grew up pretty much hardcore Christian back in the day, you know. So, like, I never even considered how it could even be possible. You're talking about planets that are millions of miles away, millions upon millions of miles away, and they're having an effect on us. They affect us at our birth. You know, they make, you know, all of that. It just seemed so far-fetched. And now I understand, I see why they affect, because, you know, and why alignments affect, because it's an alignment of energy creates a different frequency, and it works together, intertwines and intertangles together to create a different effect on the area below it, which is us. So I don't think they're like any kind of like object terrestrial. They're more or less like collections of energy at a certain point, and they do have their elemental energies, honestly. And they do have an effect, you know, and I believe this is why the ancient, you know, illusion mysteries and Babylonian mystery religions, and I think that's why in, you know, Mithraism, where you have the seven planets are highly deified and worshipped. And I believe this is why, because they saw the effects that these things had, and they personified them as actual. And to tell you the truth, I'm still not sure that they may be conscious, possibly light beings. I'm not sure. There's a lot of people that are in my area of study, you know, and a lot of flat earthers, especially on the Christian side of flat earth, that will definitely say that, you know, stars are angels, you know, and they say it very clearly, and they, you know, so, but like, you know, it's, For me, it's very important to stick to things that we can demonstrate and prove that are tangible, repeatable, you know, demonstrable. And that's what truth is. You know, everything else is, you know, the folly of math magicians and philosophers, you know, that move to create their own, you know, their own systems to glorify themselves and the gods that they worship, you know. That's pretty much what it is. That's why heliocentrism was created in the first place by Pythagoras. Pythagoras was a flat earther. He absolutely was a flat earther. It's undeniable. Along with the rest of them, Hecatus, they were. And what heliocentrism was a culmination of all of the arts that he taught by his travels, from being an Egyptian priest for over 20 years to being taken into the captivity in Babylon, and being, because of his intelligence and prowess, being inducted into the order of the Magi, which is said to be the same as the wise men that came to see Jesus and that knew of the prophecy, you know. Mm-hmm. He became a grand master of the order of the Magi, of these same Magi. So this is it's a highly intelligent mathematician. And he was absolutely a master of the occulted sciences. And so what he did was create a religion where it was a Pythagoreanism, and it was basically a new age version of Orphism at the time, before people were Orphics, and he took that and basically, you know, remolded it into his own religion that was like the new age, you know, the cutting edge type belief system where you intertangled everything from music to the arts to the sciences, alchemy, and everything else, the study of astrology, all of that together into one to basically create an ascended state in yourself. You know, and that was basically the goal, was ascension. You know, he believed in transmigration of souls and whatnot, and that was like the whole goal. Mm-hmm. So the whole spinning ball earth, that was part, because he was basically, by doing that, by giving a model that was functional, you know, and basically taking Earth and completely turning it inside out and wrapping it around, you know, and then still being able to make it work, he was showing his absolute genius and his ability to manipulate the arts and to utilize the occulted sciences and his decades and decades of studies in these areas, and then create his own entire system, which was followed for quite some time. But it was never followed as a, like, you know, you hear a lot of times that, oh, even the ancient Greeks knew the earth was round and everything. But it's something that is touted without actually having any evidence of backing, you know, as far as there is certain points of evidence. But a lot of the philosophers that are brought up as evidence were only Pythagorean. You see what I'm saying? So they only touted the ball of earth and pushed it as part of their religion, but they were still all flat earthers. The music of the spheres and the 10 revolving concentric circle shells that got bigger and bigger with the planets in them, in his model, it's still, the earth was the accretion disk that intersected at the center of all of them. You know, and that was that model, you know what I'm saying? Like, so it's very interesting what they've done to take that and then turn it into reality, which I think with Ptolemy's work and his, you know, precise mapping of the entire system, I think that's how they were able to then take Pythagoras's work, mix it with Ptolemy's charts, and mathematically, because these men were mathematical geniuses, you know, that's what they, you know, back in those days, you didn't, if you were something, that's what you were. That's what you devoted your whole, if you were a carpenter, you were the best of carpenters. Otherwise, you didn't get any work. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just how it was. If you were a philosopher, you were a deep philosopher. And it's not like you know, when we talk about these people, what we're talking about, again, date goes back to the elitist bloodlines and the ancient royal families and the dark nobility, because these weren't just your everyday Joes.
Well, that's, you know, that's a quick question I want to ask for you real quick before you continue. You know, are we starting to talk about a cult and paganism, like things like earth worship? Is that kind of what was made with this?
Absolutely. With anima, that it's, you hit it right on the head, man. It's in my opinion, the end product that we see now is a culmination of, it's been done in steps, gradually in steps, you know, over the ages. And it's basically a culmination of the old Gnostic, you know, belief of Sophia. And it just takes everything, man. It takes the Vedic, the old Vedic cosmology, even the Chinese, Pangu, that's what it was, the Pangu, a story of creation with the cosmic egg and everything. Like it's been an amalgamation of all of these ancient other than creation, you know, like stories that these different, you know, after breaking away from this main one world system that used to exist, you know, they all kind of retold their stories. And then it seemed like around the early to middle 1500s is when they started taking all of that and putting it all back together, bringing it all back together after its, you know, centuries long of separation, bringing everything back together under one system. And that system is being ran by Rome. And I think, you know, to me, that's plain to see. Absolutely. All it is pagan sun worship. Like, if you look at Pythagoras, he made no bones about it. His whole entire system of worship revolved around Apollo. That was the point. It was the worship of Apollo. It was just, that's how religion looked back then.
So it sounds like we're still dealing with, like, the censorship of information, them destroying information, misinformation, and everything else. But how it's just, like, how you said it's, like, dissolved, but at the same time reformed itself, and now we kind of see it where some of this information gets leaked back out into the public,
right? And the only thing that can fight it, the only thing that could have ever fought it, was the actual creation story of source, you know, creating. And it seems like this whole time it's been a conscious effort to destroy that and to get it as far away from the minds of everybody as they can. I mean, look at the guy who invented the Big Bang. He didn't invent the Big Bang. The Big Bang, again, was a culmination of the Sanskrit cosmic egg, which literally means expanding cosmos and egg. It's the two words. I mean, expanding cosmos and egg. You know, it's like, so none of these ideas are original. George Lemaitre did not come up with that on his own. You know, and being as how he's a Monsignor, you know, Roman Catholic priest, everything to do with the Jesuits and an astronomer royal. He came out directly after Michelson Morley, Sagnac, and after Aries' failure. You know, after they proved, for one, Michelson Morley proving that, and Michelson Gale proving that the ether did exist, failing at proving that it didn't, and Aries doing the same. You know, it's like it's been a constant battle to keep covering up what actual reality is by this same dark cult, this ancient Babylonian mystery religion, Roman empirical cult, sun worshiping cult that has been basically wielding and controlling and molding and everything. It's just like the whole story of all, well, the church, but they were geocentric before. And, you know, they persecuted Galileo, you know. I just laugh when I hear things like that. You know, what I think that whole story for, honestly, to me, it's kind of obvious it was, you know, reverse psychology, because the Catholic Church didn't persecute people by locking them in their own home, which was basically a lavish palace, and locking them away in this home, his house arrest is what they gave him, and then still letting him practice his astrology and everything else. That's not how the Catholic Church, tortured people. They ripped their skin off and pulled it over their heads and did all sorts of insane horrific acts to the people that went against their beliefs. And what, you know, Galileo just got off with a little bit of house arrest. You know, so it's, I think it's been a very meticulously orchestrated plan.
So what, if you don't mind me asking, what do you think is, like, it sounds like what we're talking about to a degree is like, or not really to a degree, what we're basically talking about is how we're looking at the aether versus the physical. We're looking at them trying to control information to trap us here to where we don't really look at the spiritual nature of our existence, and we just kind of take things as face value. Exactly. We don't really like necessarily look inward and look at like how we are affected by things like the aether versus these guys who are praising the sun. And although these are two different definitions of energy, they have vast different implications. One is more physical versus the other one being more spiritual. Is that about right?
Absolutely. Yep. And we're ethereal beings living in a spiritual realm, you know? So it's like, if they can disconnect you from that, then they have control over you. If you don't understand your reality and that the things that you do affect everything around you, the energy you put off, in common terms, the vibes that you give, those are real things. You know, we've seen that demonstrated now over and over with different tangible experiments, like with the rice experiment and all of that. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but taking the different rice and putting it in three different jars, cooked rice, and you fill the water up to where the rice is, you leave one as a control, and then you direct and actually have to seriously do the experiment, but direct positive energy and love towards one, hate and disdain towards the other one. And after a week and a half, 2 weeks, the one with the disdain will be black and look like it's about to blow out of the jar. The other, the control should be a little bit rotten, and the one you've been showing your love to should almost look edible. And this is a repeatable over and over and over experiment. And that's just a very small demonstration of what you're talking about and what I'm talking about, what I believe they've been trying to hide. Because I think as a collective conscious, I think if we all wake up and we all say no, we will no longer let this happen. We will no longer consent to what you're doing. And you know, I know you get into a lot of this, you know, darkness is when it got into the whole pedogate thing, and just, you know, there's just so much, you know, that we don't even need to get into now, but it's like, I believe that we could stop it all just by our intent. If everyone woke up to their own true power and creative ability and decided that we were going to stand up and say no one day, I think that's all it would take. Mm-hmm. But their system is so manipulative and twisting, and you know
that. Yeah, we touched that in one of my Mindful Nights videos. You, me, Rob, and Chris. Really great. I think that was a nail, several nails in that video. With what was his name? Mish. That Asian guy, Mr. Makayaku.
Oh, Dr. Masaru Emoto and his.
Oh, Emoto, yeah.
His water experiment, where he sent out thought and projection and emotion onto different water. He put like love, hate, anger, sadness, depression, disappointment. He put different ranges of like emotion on like on ice cubes, and every day he would take the time to like give off impressions onto them and give off those emotions. And like with the experiment that Rob was talking about, after a while there was an obvious and noticeable difference. You would definitely look more at the beautiful water that had love attached to it versus the water that had disappointment and sad. It would just be kind of gross and muggy. And this is again more of a credence to our very, very spiritual nature. And I think that's another reason, you know, when I look at like the flat earth, I have to like, because I understand things in a very spiritual nature all the time, as we talked about before with the firmament, you know, how does that affect us? You know, is that the ley lines on the top? Is it from that toroidal energy, or that toroidal ball of energy, as Rob is calling it, that generates that energy? You know, and even then, like I was talking to you about, Jonas, the idea of what goes beyond the Arctic wall, are those land masses out there? And even if so, who governs? Is it governed? You know, is this an entirely different space or an entirely different realm? Like, what are these other things that are taken into consideration when looking at this model, and how does it affect us?
Well, as it pertains to the firmament and even a possible dome, I'm not necessarily a dome subscriber, although I have seen a lot of cool evidence for that. But what I think is possible is this energy field that we're talking about, this toroid. You know, when it says you put the sun and the moon and everything in the ether, like this isn't just like we're not talking about just this cap shell. Like this is could be, who knows how thick the energy field is, right? So, and we're talking about, this isn't just an energy field like we think of electricity energy. This is a field that is hyperdimensional. You know, part of it is even hyperdimensional. Mm-hmm. Maybe not the inside, but the outside part of it. And there possibly could be multiple toroids, not just one, you know. So if this major toroid, once it comes in contact with our three-dimensional portion of the realm, it could then, you know, think about how high frequencies can, you know, be used for freezing and you know, it could very well create some type of solid-ish type barrier. I'm not sure on that, so I wouldn't want to. I don't put myself in any type of camp, honestly, unless I can see evidence and proof. You know, which is how I got to the point of, you know, thinking that the Earth is stationary and flat, because there's certain things that you have to ignore if you were to believe in a spinning globe model. There's just certain things you have to ignore. You know, I'm sure we can get into that if you'd like, but
please, no, please do. There's definitely like there's a lot of different theories that I see just kind of like played out and bounced around. And I guess I'm just kind of curious as to like how it all pertains. Like one of the ones that I'm curious about as well is I'm sorry if I keep bouncing back to it, is like what goes on beyond the Arctic wall or beyond the Antarctic wall? Like what is the Antarctic Treaty? How does that play into like our present and our history?
Well, as far as like Antarctica and the ring that could possibly be there, it could only be the first ring. If we look back at Atlantis and the way Atlantis was set up, what I kind of believe is that we are Atlantis. Atlantis was a much older ancient version of Earth. It was Earth. We were the Atlanteans at one time, I believe, just more ascended type beings. You know, I don't think we've evolved in any way, shape, or form. I think we've more or less devolved.
I agree.
And so, yeah. And so like when it comes to Atlantis, if you look at the layout, it's set up in basically rings, where there's rings of land that get larger. You know, there's a ring of land and then there's ocean. Hmm. And then there's another ring of land and then there's more ocean. Now, I've seen a lot of the ancient supposed finds in Antarctica, and I don't discount them. I don't necessarily believe, you know, quite yet, but I've seen them all. And what we find over our entire plane is we find evidence of some type of massive electrical storm that basically ravaged the entire plane. We find evidence of this in like the Eye of the Sahara. If you look at the Eye of the Sahara, if you Google that, you'll see basically a spot that was like an arc, like a welding, like an arc hit it right in that spot, except the eye that you'll end up looking at, you think it's small, but it's over 20 miles wide. And there's other locations close to it where you would see the other end of the arc, where there is iron that's just been pulled right up to the surface, and it looks like the ground around it is scorched, but it's not. Now, there's also the same exact striational patterns found in the Hudson Bay. There's also other ways that this electrical storm could have created these mesas, these massive mesas that we see, mm-hmm. although there's some other speculation of what they could have been. They could have also been created by this massive electrical storm that swept the entire plane and just basically sucked this stuff up. And it would have done so in hexagonal and octagonal patterns. And so that's kind of what we see coming up from these mesas that they claim are lava flows that just decided to flow up for some reason. But So as far as the people, well, we're not a ring now. There could have been, and that would have been, if the storm was that massive, it would have been accompanied with, you know, large earthquakes, probably way bigger than we had ever seen. And of course, this is speculation. I've seen evidence of a lot of this possibly could have happened, but it could have messed up the inner ring to make it look like what we see now, you know, separated some of the continents or whatever. There's a whole theories that are wrapped around these continents that could have possibly moved. And it could have, at the same time, shocked. It could have brought our sun in, you know, what the coalescence of energy. It could have brought all of that in closer. It could have took down the massive tree at the center. So there's a lot of evidence of major catastrophe, one being electric and one being seeming to be water, like a massive flood. So I think these two, and then maybe more instances that have happened, kind of drastically changed the landscape to what we see now, you know. So I don't think it's far off to say that at one time, you know, it could have looked just like the depictions of Atlantis with multiple rings. So Antarctica could only be the first ring. And if we go off of some of these other accounts, creation beyond the poles, you know, we find that some of these men have claimed to have gone 5,000 miles beyond the pole and documented it.
This where we get tales of like Agartha and Shangri-La? Or is this more or less like the inner earth aspect? Because I know there's some tales of people, like you said, that kind of explore beyond the poles. But I'm just curious because there's ancient legends of faraway lands with faraway people. And so I'm kind of curious, you know, where the documentation kind of shows up.
I think there's more than one, if you will, like civilization kind of that we don't understand. I think that some of, you know, that at one point, one of the great civilizations probably went underground, mm-hmm, into massive, you know, tunnel systems or possibly down to the next plane or whatever. There's supposed to be entrances. They used to say the entrance to Shambhala was in Tibet. In the mountains of Tibet, there's an entrance, and that wouldn't put it anywhere near the center. However, I've heard through some of the research Devin Maggi and his team has been doing and some others that was an attempt to create a paradise with their own, you know, so this would be one of the breakaway civilizations that was created, you know, by the actual elitists, like not, you know, like Shambhala would not have been created by any, you know,
anybody of modern
thinking that we would consider, any person that we would consider, you know, like us, like,
yeah.
And this place that you're speaking of, like there could be multiple places that actually were, like they used the, you know, the free, all the Tesla technology, different things like that at different times throughout our history that they've had this, they've acquired this knowledge, you know, because there's nothing new under the sun. I think, you know, a lot of these different, you know, discoveries are just them finding the ancient texts or
just locating rediscoveries.
Yeah, rediscoveries, I think.
Well, that's why whenever we look at stuff like Antarctica and how they say they're discovering like ancient tech or ancient tech, you know, they're seeing giants and stasis and stuff like that. That's again where we see kind of more like the cycle of history, more of this stuff kind of repeating itself. So whenever you were talking about those catastrophic events that were taking place, like that electrical event or whatever, electrical discharge took place and things like the flood, you know, that kind of makes me think again of these earth changing events that have effects on our history. And so whenever I look at the flat earth, look at it in that aspect of us living in a closed system, you know, these things are constantly happening. We're living, it's like a cyclical nature type, yes, of thing.
One of the
things that we were talking about before the show, you had this crazy story about how there is this diver going into, he was going deeper than ever he had ever gone before. And he came up upon black water And so kind of what, whenever you're saying that, you know, that makes me think of like different densities, different, again, more of that hyperdimensional water, different types of water, what we would consider liquid, but really isn't liquid, and all of this stuff basically being like a part of this system that we're in. So there's like a lot of different theories going on. But if you could you kind of tell that story again one more time so we could kind of get it on record about that man in the submarine and how he couldn't go into a certain type of water. He actually bounced out of it.
Yeah, I don't remember what his name was, but I guess you do. Mike, wasn't it something like that? That guy from Discovery Channel doing an exploration into the sea.
And what, do you remember where it was?
Oh, no, I'm not sure. Are you, Rob? Do you remember?
I'm not quite sure where exactly it was. I want to say it was in the Marianas Trench, but I don't feel like that's right, and I'm not sure, so I don't like saying
anything wrong, though.
Yeah.
Do you mind letting people know about the story just so they can, if anything, go research it?
Yeah, so there's a guy in this, they were exploring the ocean depths, and they went down into into the depths of this ocean. I just can't remember exactly where it is right now. But they go down and they're exploring, and they find this, basically it looks like, and the shore is surrounded by a bunch of like mussels and sea creatures, and like even like dead bodies of like crabs and whatnot. And it's just like the water is lapping up on the shore of these creatures, right? But so everything inside the lake that's in the middle of this shoreline that's created down under the water here, the water looked almost black. He couldn't even, the man tried to shine his light down into it, and they couldn't see through. So they tried to drop the submarine down into the lake, you know, to go even further. And the density, the consistency was so dense that they could not bring to drop into it. And it's quite the interesting research, because when what we were talking about basically is the waters, you know, waters below and the waters above, which this analogy is found in more than just, you know, the Bible. It's found in multiple ancient cosmologies. And so what we were talking about is in reference to this energy that we've been talking about, the waters could be, you know, more of like a hyperdimensional type liquid, you know, something beyond our type of comprehension, more than just, you know, the matter that we know of, solid, liquid, gas, plasma, you know, more than that, like all of that together at once and more, you know, something that we can't imagine because we're in the third dimension. It's hard to say that, but the best example would be the Flatlanders, you know, that little show where you're looking at the two-dimensional creatures and all they observe is flatness and you know, all they are is paper thin. So they move in straight lines, and if something is in front of them, it's just a straight line that's in front of them, and it doesn't matter what the actual shape of it is. And then, you know, someone comes in from the heavens, and imagine you stick your finger into their world from the heavens above, into these Flatlanders' world, this 2D world. Well, all they're going to see is a disc. It's the tip of your finger, and you're sticking it down into their sky. But all they'll see is the bottom, you know, the tip of your finger, which would be a disc, you know, getting bigger and bigger as it got closer. So to them, all they could perceive was that they wouldn't understand that there's a whole finger behind it. It's a three-dimensional object because they can only perceive in two dimensions. So what we're talking about here is something that could be up into the 10 or 11 dimensions. Who has any clue? But if it is basically source material or primordial waters, you know, hyperdimensional primordial source material, if that's what it is,
you know, than this toroid field that would have blossomed, you know, that source would say, okay, this is where I want it, poof. And or if that's the way it was created, you know, it would have started with a coalescence of energy and spread out, and it would have, you know, made a pocket or a bubble in this hyperdimensional, you know, waters above them. It would have created waters above and below, you know.
So hear me out. I got a just random kind of thought to throw out there for you guys. So, because we were talking about this before and how the sun kind of shows like different spectrums of light, different spectrums of the density that we're able to perceive, right? If they say that hell is the farthest place away from God's light, from God's love, right? Well, what would be the farthest thing from the sun, so to speak, from light, from that kind of love? It would be the waters underneath the waters. It would be the waters below, right? Whatever is underneath the waters that we can perceive, whatever is underneath that surface level stuff, that's something, I guess, that kind of it acts as like a barrier. The light, since it can't reach there, since it can't, I guess, shine its light in that shadow, it can't basically form and create a perceivable and interactable matter. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So it's like whenever we're, I don't know, for me, because I'm still trying to understand this, you know, things like I said, putting together the concept of Sheol, the Hades, or the underworld, you know, whatever this darkness is that is underneath us, there is a multidimensional nature to it. And so whenever we're talking about the waters that it's connected to, and how there could be all kinds of different minerals, chemicals, you name it, like from our short time here on this planet, think about how many different things we have dumped into the bottom of the ocean and how many different things are there that could be interacting with our spiritual nature. And as we're trying to figure out, you know, whether it's source energy, whether it's this artificial energy, whether it's this hyperdimensional water, whatever this stuff is, because we're tied to this enclosed system here on Earth, this is all stuff that affects us. Like this is all stuff that happens both on our plane, underneath our plane, and over us that we are interacting with. And so whenever we're talking about, for me, that's why I have to understand, like I said, the spiritual nature of this stuff. How is it that it's still going on? How is it that we still don't know about these types of things, but constantly throughout our history we have seen it show up? And it seems like it's metaphorical, but there's got to be some kind of truth and credence to it, you know.
Yeah, something I found very interesting regarding it all with the spiritual connection and all of that is that our hearts produce the same amount of, the same frequency that our Earth is doing. So that directly connect, does, well, people would say to our Earth or the world or Mother Gaia or whatever, but I see that as connected to the whole donut-shaped energy field and how the energies, you know, work within this system, giving us all these different layers not thickness, but yeah, layers.
Densities.
Densities. Thank you. So with something very interesting, we talked about the waters, the floods and the storms, electrical storms and what have you. We talked about also the atmosphere or the air you mentioned, Rob, contains water. And I think the air contains billions of water. So if you see this energy field surrounding us, if it, you know, pulsates like a heartbeat, but compared to our understanding, it goes very, very long in between that it does this. But for example, the flood, it could just turn the water into in the air molecules, the water molecules within the air, you know, just turn it to solid liquid. So we would be over flood in an instant if something like that would happen, or the storms. And I definitely therefore think that I messaged you the clip for the underwater lake. Worth looking
Mike,
at.
Mike DeGroy. Mike DeGroy from Blue Planet.
Okay. Uh-huh. He's very, very shocked over this, of course. He's seeing a lake in the ocean or in a lake or wherever he actually are right there, but probably in the ocean. And as I mentioned as well, it was just shortly after I started seeing that footage online going viral, all of a sudden I also read that he had gone away somewhere after that. So, you know, it does sound like all these people talking about things we should have known or have explanations for, they kind of disappear or dies off.
When they find things that are going to disrupt their plans or thwart their agenda, then they have to silence them somehow. This is the reason that we find the Antarctic Treaty being signed right after Byrd's death, all around the same time that Khrushchev and Wernher von Braun and Eisenhower and all of them were kind of, you know, scheming together to formulate, you know, the whole space program. And what I firmly believe is that Byrd was not cool with it. He had discovered too much to demonstrate that the reality wasn't the way they were trying to say it, and he was starting to talk about it. And they couldn't have that. I think they had huge plans. They had to wait for Stalin to pass. He wasn't down with working with everybody, I don't think. And as soon as he passed, they put in someone that had no choice but to do exactly what he was told. He was still a prisoner at when he was in, basically put in charge of the Soviet Union. Like, this man was literally still a prisoner. And they killed his entire crew, his entire team, just basically to say, this is, you know, and their families, like, murdered all of them and then put him as leader of the Soviet Union. And then here comes NASA and all this other stuff.
That raised some questions. And do you know if that book from Byrd, if it was released only in his name or if it's something that he stood behind of? You know, the book where he explains how he went down into the Hall of Earth and everything he saw. I know there's a book released about it, but...
There's a couple different releases. I think the one you're talking about was released by his son. It was his memoirs and captain's notes released by
him. Yeah. That was the title.
So what I feel like is that what was going on, he was finding out that it wasn't as it seems, and that there was more research there were things going on down there that no one was being told about, and I don't think he was okay with covering it up. And I think this all leads back to the alien agenda.
Yep.
You know,
that was going to be one of my kind of questions to you guys, because I'm glad we're hovering over this topic, because it seems I'm glad we're hovering over this part of the conversation, because I was going to get your guys' opinions on like aliens. Do you believe that there's and this is where it gets complicated, flesh and blood extraterrestrials, or do you believe in intra-dimensionals or intra-terrestrials, like creatures that have been popping out from these higher or lower spatial dimensions into ours to interact with us, versus flesh and blood actual extraterrestrials? Now, myself personally, and I'll throw this out here since we're already talking about things, all these things kind of together, I believe that what they are passing off to us as aliens are artificial biological constructs, and this is what they consider like grays. This is what we see with that whole agenda. Now, and this is kind of how we kind of have to jump back to intraterrestrials and creatures that are subterraneans, i.e. the reptilians, and this species or this race or this organization that keeps popping up over history and carrying out these same kind of patterns. Do you guys kind of think that these things are the same? I know that's a very broad question, and you guys are welcome to answer it however you'd like, but what are your thoughts basically on aliens and then basically trying to push the alien agenda off? Because I'll get your guys' thoughts, and I'll try to chime in when I can.
Yeah, I think I see them more as interdimensional beings, because there's to me, it makes more sense in the terms of how they would operate with the different frequencies and the energies that they really are. And, you know, people's footages, I'm not saying everything is real or authentic on YouTube, but you sure as hell can find a lot of things out on internet overall, you know. And encounters of strange things, you know, crafts morphing, stars or something, looking at stars morphing and shooting things. I think they are more interdimensional, but I think that they could hijack this dimension into becoming a 3D, a three-dimensional being of some sort. But I definitely also know how they brainwash us, and you know, by movies and everything, really, into this gray alien thing. And well, who really knows? I don't really know, you know, but to me, it feels like, I don't know, it seems more of these with, reptilian race, and we can trace the ant people or the reptilians and the fish people and the bird people, all of these different races very, very, very far back. So, and I don't know. I'm not.
No, that's a good answer.
You know,
I don't think anyone knows, man.
But that's more how I see it, and I see it as they could definitely do something like that to become a part of the three dimensional, with the help, of course, from their advanced technology. And bioengineering, all of this stuff.
Well, that's why I have to like ask the question of like them being interdimensional in nature. Like, could we have advanced technology to where we create something that has biological functions to where they conduct these occult magical experiments to basically summon entities, only to have give them houses, so to speak, through these things that they've created. Now, I know that's super far-fetched, but that's kind of how I see like this gray alien phenomena.
I don't think it's far-fetched at all. And like I said, we exist in a certain frequency, and I don't think that a lot of these darker entities, I think their energy is so, their frequency is so much lower than this realm that they can't even exist here, which would be like what, you know, maybe the 6th, 7th layers, you know, described in the Vedic planes, you know, below us or whatever. And so, you know, which would maybe the bottomless pit or whatever, who knows, you know. It may be a loop, you know what I'm saying? A bottomless pit could be a possible loop where they just never. So anyway, and that would be in a certain toroid. That would be like they would just be re-looping in there and they couldn't get out of it because of the higher energy all around them. So they couldn't escape it. So if what they're doing now with CERN, which we know it's a frequency manipulator, a high frequency manipulator, it can. And of course, you know, with all magnetic.
Everything combined, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, and so if they are trying to change the whole resonant frequency of the entire Earth to make it livable for these, you know, whatever you want to, you know, demonic or fallen presences, which when we're talking about it in the form of energy, they it would make complete sense. Same as with the allegory of, or even the reality of the Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden and being banished for eating of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You know, if they existed in the garden at the frequency of source of the creator, which is what is told in multiple scriptures. So if that in fact is the case, then, and we're talking about energy here, and if they were vibrating at the frequency of God, which is what they would have to be doing to be able to walk with him, and they simply acquired knowledge of evil, the knowledge of darkness or of duality, it would take them out of that frequency. The simple knowledge of a duality would then, it would change their vibration. It would then banish them from this, you know, high frequency center that we're calling Shambhala or the Garden of Eden or whatever, you know?
So it's like we're basically, go ahead.
In the same respect, I think that these so-called, some of them, I think, are the biological bodies, things that they've created, you know, with the fallen technology, the ancient technology they find. And I think that has a lot to do with what happened with the massive electrical storm, too. I think at some point, like maybe around Tower of Babel time, possibly, or maybe even as close as the Dark Ages, something might have happened at that point. And they just covered it up by saying there was a plague that killed a third of the people on the Earth. But, you know, so as far as these darker beings or these aliens or demons or whatever, I know for a fact that there are instances where when an individual wishes to be in contact with these beings or creatures or energy, you know, forces or whatever, that it's happening. You know, you have that remote viewing, you know, where they're communicating with aliens or ascended masters, all, you know, and these things, you know, they can't necessarily, you know, so they either have to inhabit an actual a body here, or, you know what I'm saying? So I it all makes sense to me with the whole, when you encompass everything with energy and that everything is energy. Like, you know, when you get into how Aleister Crowley and the Thelemic magic that he was doing, and he also was in contact with one of these beings who gave him a lot of the information that he had. He was extreme a dark occultist. I mean, he called himself the Beast, the Great Beast. Like he was dark, man. And so he was not only very involved with these elitist organizations and groups, but he was he was involved in, well, I believe, MI6 or whatever, or not MI6, yeah. But...
No, it was MI6.
Was it MI6? I knew it was the British intelligence, but yep. I didn't know if it was called MI6 at the time, but I had a brain fart there. But yeah, so he's involved in all of that. They're involved with the government, with all that testing and everything. And then you have his cohort, Jack Parsons, over here in America, running the American chapter of the Masonic Ordo Templi Orientis, you know, Aleister Crowley's Thelemic Masonic cult. And you have him over here running the American chapter of it, being the head of the American Thelemic chapter. Like, you know, and having the parsonage and having all the occult magic and things going on there, and also being one of the founding fathers of NASA. You know, so it seems like what we have is, like, you know, a culmination of these, you know, you look at Wernher von Braun, he was into the occult sciences, all of that stuff. Like, and so you find out, like, basically it all leads back to the same thing, which then all leads back to Rome. It leads back to this Roman empirical Jesuit dark nobility, you know, control that's been wielded for over 1,000 years, and they just it all leads back to them.
So would you, and this is the kind of, like, mindset or the kind of theory that's just, like, formulating hearing you talk about these types of things with Wernher von Braun, Aleister Crowley, all these people trying to set up, Jack Parsons, all these people setting up NASA, right? And then coming up with the concept of aliens, not demons, you know, not fey folk, not goblins, not vampires, not werewolves, not any of these other mythological creatures, but aliens, something that we couldn't even possibly comprehend. But for them, coming into contact with spirits, because this is a time frame where seances were popular, where people would channel spirits, do a lot of invocations and things like this, spirits were something entirely familiar to them. But whenever we come into our modern day understanding of things,
especially with the elitist families, yep, of the governments around, especially with the American government, all of that, with those families, Ronald Reagan, his wife, all of them.
Yep.
And he's the one who said we need an alien invasion to take, you know, to stop the, it would bring the Cold War to an end. It would, you know, bring us all together. You know, he said that Eisenhower was down with the same thing. He's the one that Operation Paperclip, which was bringing all that occult science and mind control technology here to continue it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
Go ahead. It goes deep. What I'm trying to get around to saying is, it seems that they're basically trying to pass off alien. I don't want to sound cliche, but it sounds like they're trying to pass off aliens as demons to us. When we start actually digging into, like, what would be considered an alien, how these things have come across, like, what they're actually doing, is this high technology and, like, spiritualism, like, combined? Are we seeing, like, these guys do really, really high occultic magic? And that is a whole nother show that I definitely want to have you guys on for.
Certainly is.
Absolutely.
I feel like I had, like, all kinds of questions written down, and then I started writing questions, and then we moved on to other stuff as well. I was just, this has definitely been a wild ride of an episode.
it's been there's so much to cover as well. And you know, when we are more than one people also, so there's more minds to it. There's even more to be said.
Oh yeah. We're definitely going to have, like, a subsequent episode to have you guys on to, like, do, like, a part two or, like, a continuation, because I feel like we barely scratched the surface.
Yeah, honestly. And that's the thing. It's not like, you know, because I know Jonas personally. So it's not like, you know, for us, we didn't just, you know, start, this is an interesting theory, let's believe it. You know, I mean, we spent probably collectively thousands of hours of research into the subject. You know, I know at least, you know, you have no idea, sleepless nights for weeks and weeks and months of looking in and trying to figure things out. And honestly, to tell you the truth, I only looked into the whole Flat Earth thing originally as entertainment a couple of years ago. It was, you know, I was, you know, heavily into all of the, you know,
occultations and secret societies, and even growing up, I knew about the Jesuits and the Roman Catholic, you know, hold over everything in the empire and in the dark orders. And I already knew about that. So this was like, you know, it was like a stepping stone. What are all of those people actually doing? And then it was like the obvious kind of slap me in the face. Water can't wrap around the ball. It always fills its container and always levels out at its surface. You know, Pascal's law and, you know, equal distribution of pressure and everything, you know, fluid dynamics alone demonstrates the leveling aspects of water, and that it always does that, you know. So it's like, you know, once you figure that out, then it's just going to the next subject. You know, you feel, oh, well, then this can't work. So you look into that and you find out, well, wait a second, they got an answer for that too. And yeah, definitely. Like you said, we could have probably two or three more episodes.
Please.
Well, where can people find some more of your guys' work if they want to go check it out in between having you guys on?
Should I go first? Okay, I'll go. As I said, more minds, more people to share. You can go to my Instagram account, underscore. Is that correct? It is?
Yep, underscore Libertas.
I'm Swedish, so, you know, underscore Libertas underscore. And on YouTube, it's Libertas Alternative Media.
And do you have any projects you're working on right now, Jonas?
I am actually doing some truth music now. So I've been away and unactive on Instagram. Or no, sorry, YouTube. But I do post from time to time on Instagram. But I will get down to my videos and all of that pretty soon. Yeah, I do have some great videos up and running. So regarding the topics and stuff we talked about as well.
Yeah, we play some of your tracks. We play some of your tracks on Paradox Radio.
Yeah, I love that, brother. That's so nice.
It's like We the People and United We Fall, and there's two other. I think it's the Liberation starts now, or the Revolution.
Oh, the Liberation song.
Yeah, the Liberation and the Revolution starts now. I think that's it.
Oh yeah.
I've listened to a few of them, man. I definitely appreciate the music, and we play it on Paradox Radio as well.
Wow, I'm so honored.
That's dope.
I didn't know that you played those other songs, but I did know that you play those songs.
I try to. I want to give us like a platform to where we can have these kinds of conversations. We can have like awesome, enlightening music, and just get that out there. You know, just get involved in the culture war and like really. Really take stuff over, like make people think, you know?
Yeah, that's the bottom thing. Or, yep. Well, no, bottom. You know what I mean. That's a good thing. That's the name, and to just find out truth and share. And I think it's awesome that you do this. I'm honored to be on and that you play my music and you share, and that you... keep looking for truth and share truth for others.
I definitely try to. Thank you for coming on, and thank you for helping get Rob on. This is definitely a delight. Like I said, we're definitely going to have you guys back on and hopefully talk about some of these questions. Rob, where can people find some more of your work?
Yeah, I'm on Instagram mostly at Terra Plain Truth. But I'm also on... If you go to the Instagram, into my bio, the link in my bio is to my playlist with all my interviews. So I got like 30, 35 or so interviews logged down there, covering a whole slew of topics. So, you know, look by the title and you can probably figure out what some of them are about. Other than that, I want to shout out Project Frequency for show. Project Frequency, my boy Low Freak and the rest of them.
want to shout them out because they're doing big things right now, and that they're working with exactly what we're talking about right now, and just how everything correlates with the color scale and the musical scales and just everything, you know. So you know, we're doing that, and I'm working on a timeline so I can kind of visibly demonstrate the stuff we've been talking about, you know, from like the 40s, you know, 50s on, you know, what happened, when Byrd died, and how that correlated with the exact time that CIA and Roswell happened, all that stuff. Like, it's just
nice.
Very, very, it's good to have like an actual timeline that people can look at. So, you know, as far as that, that's what I'm working on. And as far as people, you know, trying to tell anybody that Flat Earth is a psyop and that it just started here or it just started there, or, you know, I just recently got someone telling me it started in Zion City in 1901. Yeah. You know, honestly, I have ample evidence to show anybody that has any question that it's been around for thousands of years. Yeah. In fact, I'm going to post a little slideshow of maps spanning back to about 2,600 years ago, Flat Earth maps. So, you know, I'll tell you what, it's an all involving, you know, subject, and there's a lot of different aspects to it. And ODD Reality, if you go check him out, and he's got a 21 questions or the ODD trilogy. Those are great videos to check out to like kind of get a better grasp of what we're talking about. So ODD Reality, check out the trilogy, check out 21 questions. That kind of give you a few answers, you know, more that you might have. But check me out, Terraplane Truth. If you ever have questions, I'm always open to direct messages from there, you know. Other than that, be blessed. And I really appreciate you having me on, having the courage to actually have a show like this when you have so many, you know, so many of your patrons or subscribers. Yeah,
it's okay.
And people that are probably going to think you're nuts for even entertaining it. But, I mean, that's the thing, dude. We're here for truth. And I believe that you are too, especially from the work that you do and everything. And I know Jonas and I are. We're not out here for any other reason but to discover the truth of our reality. And I think that's important to getting rid of this overarching mind control that we have all kind of found ourselves trying to fight.
I've recently started to come to the realization that whenever we have conversations like this, we have like group chats, group discussions, and all these things that come up against us, we're basically acting as like a non-official think tank, like a totally amateur, just like I don't even know, like a collective group.
It's beautiful. You know?
It is awesome. Just like having so many different people that are just like knowledgeable in so many different things, and being able to talk about a wide variety of subjects. Like, to me, it is an honor. It's an honor to have people like you on. It's an honor to talk about all these things. Like, it's an honor to have Jonas back on. Like, it is, I don't know, to do this, really, you know, I can't say anything else other than it's an honor to have the opportunities and to have people like yourself on to, you know, talk about these types of things and more and see how they affect us. You know, that's really all I can say, is because it's an honor. That's all I'm going to keep saying. But I will most certainly have you guys back on, because this is a great conversation, and I can't wait to have more conversations with you guys. So if anything, to the people that are listening now and in the future, make sure you go check out their work. I'll put their contact information in the description bar below. If you have any questions, feel free to, you know, message them, because obviously they're well-rounded on a wide variety of topics. And when it comes to talking about these types of things, you know, you have to be well-rounded. But that's all we really have for you guys. Like I said, I'll put their information, their contact information, in the description bar below, as well as mine. If you have any questions, feel free to hit us up or leave me a voicemail at 843-900-6296. And as always, guys, stay vigilant, expose lies, and share truth. This is Noisera, Libertas, and Terraplane Truth, out. And that's all I really have for you guys. As I said before, there's a whole lot of different things that comes to talking about just any kind of topic, especially Flat Earth. Clearly, I have more questions, and there will be more subsequent episodes and discussions about this, because it's a new topic, and I don't think that we should throw it out. I think that we should be intellectually honest and mentally mature when looking at these types of things instead of throwing them out. But that's all I really have for you guys. If you have any questions, like I said, I'll have my contact information in the description bar below. And as always, guys, stay vigilant. Expose lies and share truth. This is Noisera, Freedom Faction, out.